Breakfast Business with Joe Lynham on News Talk.
With Cantor Fitzgerald Ireland, helping people across Ireland invest, plan and grow their wealth with confidence. Cantor Fitzgerald Ireland is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
The second part of the Network and Information Security Directive, known as NIS2, probably comes into force in July this year. It requires companies of all manner of so-called essential and important sectors to carry out resilience checks on their data security, and also puts the directors of those companies personally on the hook if they don't ask the right questions and ensure that the company and all personal data it gathers has carried out the correct cybersecurity checks. It's a big change, and it could impact as many as 5,000 medium to large companies in Ireland. Research from the domain name .ie suggests that many companies simply aren't ready. And Louise McKeown is the head of growth with .ie and sitting in front of me. Good morning, Louise.
Good morning, Joe.
So explain all the companies that are soon to be included in NIS2.
So companies soon to be included. NIS1 had seven companies, seven sectors.
It was so good they made another
so
one.
So good they made it twice. So now the NIS2 directive has 18 sectors, which will account for about 5,000 companies. So divide into two. The essential ones are your healthcare, your banking, your government services, your digital infrastructure. Your important is your waste management, your post service, your food production. So the scope of this is much wider.
Yeah.
And these companies have to be ready for NIS2. They do not have a choice.
What do they need to do to get ready? Because there's a lot of internal auditing that needs to go on, isn't there?
Significant amount. The two major parts of NIS2, that's very, very different. One, it's shifting cyber from an IT department right up to board. The directive actually states that the board is accountable for cyber. So what NIS2 is doing is essentially saying...
And does that include non-executive directors?
So those that sit within the board of your directors for your governance of the business, they're the ones that are accountable.
Right. Okay. So that's a lot of personal responsibility. What sort of sanctions could those directors face if they're shown and proven to be negligent?
So the way the NIS2, let's say we'll call it the fines that can happen is, so as an organization, you can be fined either 10 million or 2% of global turnover, whichever is greater. What's stated in the actual directive is that the fines can be imposed on a person. Within a person structure, there's two types. There's a natural person, which is an individual, and there's a legal person, which is the company. So from an individual's perspective, sitting on a board, you will be part of an investigation. You will be part of a sanction that's applied to a company. And potentially for you, you may not be able to sit on future boards. Reputation damage will be huge if you're part of an organisation that's had to
But you won't be stung with you know, €1 million fine.
Highly unlikely, right, that you, as an individual, be stung with millions. Highly unlikely.
Now, going back to the responsibility that a company and the directors have, that is going to put a huge burden on the supply chain as well, isn't it? Because it's not just those 5,000 companies that you're talking about. Their suppliers will have to be taken into consideration.
And this is the main part, Joe. And it's you're 100% right to mention this, because this is the blind spot almost within the NIS2 piece, in my opinion. So essentially, when you're an organization, take those 5,000 organizations that we already mentioned. Mm. They now are responsible for a supply chain. Anticipated is between 11 and 13,000 companies form that supply chain into these 5,000.
And they won't all be big companies with big IT and admins behind them.
No, they won't. What they need to do is, though, they're going to be asked a question at some point. So when we did this research with Amorek, when we spoke to these, because we actually spoke to 10% representation of the 5,000 companies. Mm-hmm. And when we spoke to them, the key question was for us, have you mapped your supply chain? Do you know your supply chain cyber hygiene? 47% said they haven't mapped it yet.
So give us an example of, you mentioned a food company being included in the important section, mm-hmm, under NIS2. Does that include abattoirs, for example? Will they have to have something like a cyber check?
If they're part of the supply chain into an essential or an important entity, yes, they will.
Mm.
So the important entity, so the food producer, they will go all the way through their supply chain. And they will have to understand their cyber prevention or cyber risk measures. And they'll need to see documented evidence. So they'll be asking for, show me your cyber policy, show me your cyber measurement. And this might be new to a lot of smaller companies.
It will, because especially if it is a small abattoir maybe down the country, they have a very insignificant IT presence, but they will have to then prove that that's coherent.
They will. They will have to prove that they've taken a cyber risk measurement.
Where does .ie, the domain, come into this?
So where we come into this, Joe, it might surprise you, but for 25 years, .ie have been protecting the .ie namespace. So every time you go to a website with a .ie, our job is to make sure that's available and secure and protected. And for we have a data sciences team. And for the last 3 years, they've actually been monitoring domains, websites and emails for the to see what's the digital health of the nation. And that
and what is the digital health of the nation?
And this is the fascinating part. As a nation, we haven't necessarily looked at digital trust as a, what does it mean? Because years ago, think about it, when you registered your website and registered your domain, you did it, your website works, you haven't thought about it. And essentially what we've been looking at for the last 3 years is, how safe, how secure, how managed are you against modern internet standards? How do you check? Mm. And that's where digitaltrust.ie came about. Essentially what it is, it's a way for companies to do an assessment against their domain, their website, their email, check against 28 modern scores or modern internet standards, get a result. Think of like the Leave and Cert. It's scored from an A to an F.
Right.
If you get an A, you get to put the digital trust mark on your website.
Right.
It's not a
cyber, is that valuable?
So what it is, it's not a cyber prevention tool. It's a signal for somebody coming to your website or receiving an email from your organization that says, this company is doing the right thing by modern internet standards. Mm. You can click on the mark to get verification that it is a genuine mark, that they have gone through the process. Because if you click on the digital trust mark on the site, it'll bring you back to our site, which says verified. This company has indeed gone through the process. So it's a signal. That's simply what it is, to give you that indication that they're trusted.
Okay. And so would you say that a .ie domain is safer than a .com or a .org domain?
So what I would say about a .ie, yes, it's safer. And the reason why I say that is we're what's called a managed registry, which means that when you're registering a .ie, you have to prove a connection to Ireland. So either from a familial perspective or from a commercial business perspective. Mm. But also, we look at every application coming in. So yes, it is much more trusted than a .com or a .org or whatever new one may be.
And appear. Can you guys prevent cloning? Because I had a situation in my family where someone cloned a website, a hotel website, and it was so believable, but it wasn't a .ie. It was so believable, and then a fraud took place.
So, and this is the part. We live in a world where cyber and AI, it's happening. We're not going to stop it. Cloning can occur and can happen. However, with a .ie, it's much, much more unlikely to happen because, as I say, we eyeball and we see them. So it's something we take really, really serious at the registry.
Louise, thanks so much for joining us. That is Louise McKeown, Head of Growth with .ie, the domain.
Breakfast Business with Joe Lynham on News Talk.
With Cantor Fitzgerald Ireland, helping people across Ireland invest, plan and grow their wealth with confidence. Cantor Fitzgerald Ireland is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.